to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy today's message.
So if you're just sitting in this space, just trying to process who Jesus is, man, this is the place to do it. So just thank you so much. We're honored that you would give us a chance and just come check us out. But what I want to do before I get started is, can we give just a shout, just an excitement for all the people serving in City Kids? So I've been in ministry a long time, and I feel like, God has one church, right? And so he's got local bodies everywhere, and I think within each church, there is like a distinction. Everyone is distinct, has a certain gift. For some churches, they have amazing music. For other churches, they have amazing teachers. But for our age, I'm still trying to figure out what our gift is and our distinction. And I really think at this point in time, I'm going to say that it is City Kids. You see, For our church of our size, we have more kids than most, some even giant churches that you see around the valley. So thank you so much to each and every one of you who serve in City Kids, who step into that space to create a future, because I think that's really what God's given us. And so we just want to steward that well. Can I get an amen? Amen. So we love kids. We love the next generation. But what I really love about City Kids is I love the City Kids check-in. You're like, why do you like the check-in? Well, I like to see my friends who have a lot of kids. I like to kind of get a gauge of how their morning's going. Now, I don't have kids, but I know something about parents. It seems like the universe conspires against you on Sundays. Am I right? Just to get here is like, oh my gosh, World War III by the time you get here. And so I remember one of my buddies comes in. You can tell right off the bat, it's not a good morning. And so I'm walking with them, and I had learned later that there was multiple meltdowns on the way to church. But in this particular time, his son's having a complete meltdown. Now, sometime between waking up and then getting to church, he had gotten the nice permanent markers, and he just started coloring all over his hands. One of my favorite things, especially in City Kids. You turn around, you're like, oh my, how did he get the marker? So he's colored all over his hands. And so having a meltdown, dad's frustrated, and he's like, son, like, I'm trying to console him. And obviously he's producing a lot of tears, so he takes his marker-covered hand, and then he's rubbing it all over his eyes. And he's like, son, oh my gosh, get your hands out of your eyes, which makes him cry more, which makes his hand go to eyes and smear. And he's doing face painting. He's not even into service yet. And so right off the bat, he just looks at me. He's like, oh my gosh, it has been, I am sorry. I literally cannot even handle this right now. And I wonder how many of us feel that way this morning. Throughout life, I think there's so many times where we just get to that breaking point where I just can't handle one more thing. Isn't it funny with trials? You would wish that they kind of like space themselves out. But you know, in life, it gives you, here's 10, here's 30, here's 5. And so we get in these points where it's just like, I can't handle this. But if you walked into this space today, or maybe you're in a season where everything's good, and praise God, I want you to just take this message and kind of put it in your back pocket. You see, if you walk in this place today and you feel overwhelmed, I say you're in good company, because all throughout the story, there's one story, one narrative in the Bible of Jesus' rescue mission and in his love for his people and love for humanity. But in the midst of that, there's little characters that get overwhelmed. You see, I remember Gideon says in Judges, he says, I'm the least in my family. You know, sometimes God calls us to do something that's like far beyond, we can't even handle it. But then sometimes, like Jesus, he's sitting in the garden before he gives his life for the sake of humanity at the cross, and he says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. You see, we can feel overwhelmed when God's calling us to do something, and then we can be overwhelmed just by the storms of life. You see, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust, which means whether you believe in Jesus or not, trials are coming. We don't want to shout about that, but it's true. And so what I'd like to tell you about is just, I want to give you two keys, really, of why would God allow life to give you more than you can handle? Now, here's the thing. We're going through a series called Misunderstood, and you may be in some Christian circles and communities, and you'll hear this statement that says, God will not give you more than you can handle. And I think whether you believe in Jesus or not, I think we can all reason together, just reason that life certainly does give you more than you can handle. And so the reality is life can give you more than you can handle, but what I want to really focus on today is God will give you grace for every situation you face. So let's pray, and then we're going to jump into Luke chapter 8. So if you're like, I'm not even going to pray, and I'm trying to find out where he's going next, I told you. All right, so Father, thank you so much for today. God, thank you for just our community, Lord. Thank you just for, wow, City Kids. Oh, what an amazing family this is, just full of life, full of joy. Thank you for what you're doing in our community. God, I pray that you would just speak to your people, people going through hard times, feeling overwhelmed by work or feeling like they can't take their next step in their marriage and just fighting with all these different things hitting them at every single angle. I pray, Lord, that you speak to them this morning. And we pray, God, for the churches around not only our valley, but around our nation. I think of a friend, Chris, in Chicago, just crushing it today. I pray for New City and Gateway and for Hillsong and so many churches throughout the valley. God, I pray that you would be with us this morning. God, thank you so much. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 8 today. So you're saying, first of all, before we jump into Luke 8, where did this kind of misinterpretation of this, God will not give you anything more than you can handle, where did this come from? Well, in 1 Corinthians, it said, therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. He says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. He won't let you be tempted, not handle. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure. And so I'm not spending a lot of time on temptation, but if I'm going to give you two things from that, it's number one is don't think you're above temptation. You might be doing well right now, but temptation comes for everybody. But on the other side, he says, don't let the enemy isolate you and say you're the only one struggling with that, because it says temptation, it says not common to man, meaning we all deal with temptation. And so he says, God will not let you be tempted. He said, I won't let you be tempted beyond your ability, but not only that, I'm going to provide a way of escape. But we've kind of twisted that to where, oh, he won't give us anything more we can handle, but we know. Life certainly does. So let's step into the story here at Luke chapter 8, verse 22. It says, one day, Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And so they got into the boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. And the disciples went and woke him saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. And so what I want to say, first and foremost, is why does God allow life to give you more than you can handle? Is to depend on his presence. You see, when life's going great, and I remember this in my own life, Jesus was my get out of hell free card, but he sat on my shelf majority of my life. And so the reality is, when life is easy, and we just don't need God, sometimes it takes life to give us more than we can handle to run back and realize that this is, that God is actually what we're after. Now, my favorite psychologist, his name's Henry Cloud, and before he was an amazing psychologist, he was in his early 20s, and he was an amazing golfer. So he's just crushing it in golf. He's going to college for it. That's his dream, is he just wants to be a professional golfer. And so he gets this injury that derails his career, crushes his dream. His girlfriend breaks up with him, does this sound normal? You know, just thing after thing after thing. Long story short, he's just in the worst depression. He's thinking about taking his life, and he's sitting on the couch, and he looks up on the shelf, and he sees the Bible, and he's like, I haven't even looked at that thing in a while. So he goes and picks it up, and he reads a verse, and he's like, well, I guess I have nowhere else to turn. So he's like, I don't want to turn to God in my dorm. It just kind of feels weird. So he walks across campus to the other side to a church. So he goes to the altar. It's abandoned. No one's in there. He goes to the altar, and he's just like, has this like really real moment with God where he's just like, God, help me. Like, I don't even want to live anymore. And he said, he came up to the altar. He said, God, help me. And then he's like, nothing happened. He said, I'd watch these televangelists. He said, you know when people go up to the altar and then God like zaps them? He's like, I didn't get zapped. So he's like, I felt more lonely in that moment I've ever felt in my life. So he sat there at the altar and he said, will you just call me? So he leaves the church and he goes back to his dorm and he opens the door and then his phone rings. And he's like, I should get that. And so he goes and picks up the phone and it's one of his fraternity brothers. And he's like, hey, Henry, I don't know why I was thinking about you. You're actually like probably the last person I'd ever think about. But do you want to go to a Bible study with me? And Henry's like, yes. And then he's like, no, but are you sure? And he's like, yes, I do. You see, the reality is God's office is at the end of your rope. God's office is always at the end of our rope, and grace always meets us at the bottom. I love what Austin said because it's exactly what I'm preaching on today. It says, and Craig Rochelle says this, he says, we enjoy God on the mountaintops, but we get to know him intimately in the valley. And now it starts to make sense when you read Psalms. It says, even though I walk through the valley, I'm not staying there, I'm walking through it. I'm not camping out in the valley, I'm going through it. This trial's not forever, it's on a timer. I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. You see, I would rather be with God in the valley than the mountaintop without him. And the reality is you see this in life, and so many people climb this corporate ladder, climb and try to get all this stuff to hopefully fulfill their empty soul, only to realize their ladder was on the wrong building. It was all supposed to be built on God. And so why does God allow life to give you more than you can handle? It's to depend on his presence. But here's the second point. Life will give you more than you can handle is so you can depend on God's power. Now, I love this. I love this so much. You see, God will not give you more than you can handle. Actually, creates more of a burden on you. It's by you have to pull yourself by your bootstraps. You have to get it done. It all hinges on you. And the reality is that God has come to give you rest. He's not here to throw more burdens on you. Sometimes he's letting you get to that place so he can step in and show you his power. You see, Paul is one of the greatest apostles in the Bible. Can we be honest? I mean, he's just crushing it left after right. He's just having joy in the worst times. And so it says in the scriptures that he was given a thorn in his flesh. Now, if anyone is eligible to get healed in this world, I think it would have been Paul. And I wonder how many of us right now, we feel like because we're struggling with depression, we're struggling with a disease, we think God's not healing me because he's mad at me. But that's not the truth. You see this in the scriptures. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. He goes on to say, therefore, I boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, for when I have exhausted all options, for when I have nothing left to give, for when I cannot handle it anymore, for when it's too much, God says, for when you're weak, I'm strong. And now that you've reached that place, now it's time for my power to rush in, my strength to rush in, my might to rush in over your circumstances. You see, God has got power coming to our circumstances. He gives us power in our weakness. And so one of my favorite stories is there's a father, his wife, and his son. They're having devotionals kind of, or doing a Bible study with dinner, right after dinner, right? And so they're sitting at the table, and the father goes, son, you got anything to pray for? And he said, yeah, Dad, this kid named Jazz keeps messing with me. And the father's like, messing with you? You like say something about his mom or something? Like, are you sure you're not provoking him? He's like, no, Dad, like he's messing with me. Like he's like a thug, man. And so his dad wants to say, he's about to say, give him advice, but his wife jumps in. You see, what the husband wanted to say, he wanted to say, oh, we take care of Jazz tonight.
I mean, he's gone as far as I'm concerned. But his wife jumps in and goes, oh, no, son, violence is a zero tolerance issue. We can't handle violence. What you need to do is you need to go up the proper chain of command, talk to the vice principal and the principal, and they'll take care of it for you. And so the father looks at the son looks at the father, and the father goes, yeah, you listen to your mother. And so we fast forward a few weeks. And they're sitting at breakfast. It's the father and the son having like kind of a breakfast and a Bible study before he goes to school. And so he's sitting there at breakfast. He goes, all right, son, you got anything you need prayer for? He said, yeah, Dad, can you pray for Jazz? He said, Jazz? We just prayed about this guy. Was he still messing with you? Yeah, Dad, he's still messing with me. I can't. He's a thug, man. And he says, and he's like, well, my wife's not here. He said, you know what, son? We're going to pray about it. But the Bible also says faith without works is dead. He's like, so we're going to go to your school. So he's like, sure enough, they go to school. And you know, outside of schools in the morning, they'll have administration and people standing outside greeting the parents and kids alike. So he comes up to the vice principal and the principal with his son. And he goes, hey, guys, what's going on? Hey, just want to let you know, my wife and I, we're on your team. We love you guys so much. You guys are just hitting it out of the park. I just have one issue. You see, I'm trying to teach my son about obedience. He said, there's this kid named Jazz that keeps, and he said, before he could finish the sentence, the vice principal's like, oh gosh, here we go. And he's like, yeah, there's this boy Jazz that keeps messing with my son, and I'm trying to teach him just how to go up the proper chain of command and go to you and the vice principal and the principal. And he said, my understanding is he did go to you. And then the guy goes, well, you don't know his story, his background. The father goes, no, I'm empathetic towards that. He just said, here's the problem with this. My son did what I told him to do. Again, my son did what I told him to do. And now it's not his problem, it's my problem. And I'm not trying, the purpose of this isn't to intimidate or anything. He just says, that boy will never put his hands on my son again, and I'm gonna make sure of it. And in the same way, if you look back in Luke 8, he says, Master, Master, we're going to drown. And God answers just like this. He answers in your moment, just like in Psalms. David says, I shall call upon the name of the Lord. I shall escalate my problems to my God, to my Father. And he goes, I've got this. I've got this. You're not going to drown in the storm. You are immortal until I say so. He says, this storm is not meant to break you. It's meant to make you. Will you just trust me in this storm? And so he says, he wakes Jesus up and he says, almost in a sense, stand back. I've got this. And he looks at your situation and he looks at what you're going through and he looks at the storm and he looks at your soul and he says, be still. And it says the storm subsided and all was calm. And he goes, where is your faith? Your faith was in you and what you can handle. It needs to be in me and what I can handle. You need to escalate your issue to me. I've got this. And I hope this is helping someone today. And I'm going to finish with this. A father and a son, they're coming across this bridge. And this bridge is over a body of water, right? And the winds are raging, and the son goes, Daddy, I'm so scared. I'm so scared. I can't go across. And he says, Son, put your hand in mine. And so the son puts his hand in his strong hand, and fear leaves him immediately. And he walks him right across the bridge. And they have to come back in the evening, back across that same bridge, and he gets to it, except now it's pitch black. It's a little darker. The storms are a little more. It feels like it's too much to handle. And he says, Dad, I can't go across. I'm scared. Do you see how dark it is? Do you see the storms? And he says nothing. He just says, I've got this. And he picks up his son in his arms, and he carries him across the bridge. And the son falls asleep in his dad's arms to awaken the next morning in his own bed. You see, when life gives you more than you can handle, remember, it's to depend on His presence. Put your hand in His hand. He's walking you somewhere. He's going through the valley, and He's with you every step of the way. And not only that, He says, when it's too much to bear, when it's too much to handle, He says, don't worry, I've got this. Wraps you up in His arms. He carries you through in His strength, in His power, in His love, in His might. And the next morning you wake up and you look back at your trial and you go, I don't know how I got through that, but God is so good. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.